0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the next set of fixtures comes into focus before we've even got over the last lot. Michael Beale's targeting three or four additions as John Lundstrom insists the gap between Celtic and Rangers is not that big. Stephen Robinson's out for a repeat of the last time the Hoops visited Paisley when they return this weekend, and Jim Goodwin speaks for the first time as the new Dundee United manager. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, doesn't seem that long after the weekend, and the full focus is now back to Scottish Premiership. Rangers home game against Kilmarnock, Celtic having to face St Mirren on the Sunday. But the big drama, the soap opera drama, Jim Goodwin in the dugout at Dundee United against the team he left only 6 weeks ago. That's the real drama. 6pm kickoff on the TV. Fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this weekend. A lot of exciting games there, Gordon. A lot of good attractive fixtures. Important games. Teams really desperate for 3 points down the bottom. Kilmarnock going to Ibrox, that's a big ask for them. Motherwell, Ross County, that'll be a tight one. But I'm with Mark. I'm looking forward to the excitement at Tannadice.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. It's at that stage in the week where we start to hear from managers and players ahead of a new weekend. And I think this will spark a good bit of debate because there's been interesting comments from the Rangers camp today. It was always going to be a big focus the next time we heard from them. Michael Beale's targeting three or four quality additions. What do you make of that, Rangers fans? Is that enough? Is that the number you were looking for? Give us your thoughts. John Lundstrom says the gap between the two sides is not that big, despite what people have been saying at the weekend. Again, what do you make of that? 0141 951 1025. And Dundee United fans, I think when we left last night, we sort of knew it would be Jim Goodwin, but it wasn't official. They were very kind to keep it, I think, 5 minutes past eight when the news broke last night. So now we know Jim Goodwin's the man. Is that the right call or the wrong call for you? What about the script that Scottish football comes up with? Come back to face Aberdeen this weekend and all the rest of it. 0141 951 1025. Such was the nature of last weekend, Mark Wilson. It may well be on to a different set of fixtures, but actually everything, in particular Rangers, but Celtic to an extent, everything about this weekend is actually viewed through the lens of last weekend anyway, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all about, because like I said, today everyone's queuing up, right, what's Michael Beale going to say today? What does the rebuild look like? How have they been feeling? How are they going to bounce back? What's the team going to look like this week? What's the performance? And my goodness, if it wasn't to be a positive result, I think we would hear some lively calls on the open line. So it's all right saying you look forward, but it's actually all about last weekend anyway.
Of course, Rangers certainly are under the microscope this week. Kilmarnock, not great in their travels, so I suppose Michael Beale could be thankful of that, but it's not a foregone conclusion by any means. The disappointment that comes after losing a cup final is great, but the players have to be professional about it. And you're right, the Rangers supporters that left Hampden at the weekend so disappointed will be looking for a big reaction. 3 points, of course, is first and foremost, but they will want a performance to match it, something that they can see progression, not just scraping by the odd goal with another lackluster performance. Rangers supporters want to see signs of improvement in style and results. So that's what Michael Beale has to look forward to at the weekend, that pressure on his shoulders, and I'm sure he'll relish it. He knows the club. He knew he was coming for that anyway.
If I was picking a fixture after the cup final against Celtic, if I was a Rangers manager, Kilmarnock would be my pick, Gordon. Not because I think they're any worse than any of the bottom six. It's their away record is dreadful this season. I think they've won two in the road, which doesn't
be none in the league though.
Yeah, but that's what, so they're away record and going to Ibrox, needing a result, fighting for a life, bottom of the table. The results haven't been good. Rangers coming off that disappointing Sunday against Celtic. I think there'll be only one winner at Ibrox. And I do agree with Mark. I think the only pressure is I think the Rangers fans going along there in their vast numbers will be looking for not just the 3 points but a performance as well.
Come on, 01419511025. Just when you thought you were getting over the weekend's game, we speak to Michael Beale, we speak to John Lundstrom, and it sort of brings everything into focus again. I'll play these clips in a second, but to give you a flavour, Michael Beale talking about 3 or 4 quality additions as part of his rebuild. What do you make of that? Is that enough for you, Rangers fans? What are you thinking? What are those areas that need prioritised? What needs to change even this weekend? Would you like to start seeing, you know, a sign of a change, a sign of progression? Do you think there are players there that will pay the price for last weekend? Because he was asked what he learned, and he was quite quick to point out that he did learn things. So 01419511025 right now, please, if you can, and at Clyde SSB on Twitter. So these are the comments that I was talking about there. Michael Beale on media duty, like I said, for the first time since Sunday. He says they are heading in the right direction despite that League Cup final defeat. I wonder if you agree or disagree. Get in touch.
All we can take care of is Rangers and improve. It would be daft of us after one defeat to throw everything out. Everything we've been doing to say everything's not been good enough. We've made progress. We're moving forward. The players look more united. We've played with more style. We just didn't perform on Sunday. That's where I see it. Behind the scenes, we're working as hard as ever. If we'd have won, the job's still the same. We still need to improve. We're still behind in the league. We still want to do better in European competition next year. And we still want to improve the squad and re-energise it. All those things were in place whether we won or lost. We lost the game at the weekend because we weren't our best version. And so it was better than us on the day. But that's one game. I think it's fair to judge. I think, you know, everyone's going to judge regardless of everybody's going to be fair to have an opinion. It's very rare in football that you lose one in so many, and obviously there'd be a lot of huge opinion divided, I would say. We have to keep moving forward.
So also claiming the club needs 3 or 4 first team additions in the summer if they're to get to where he wants them. But what do you think? That's the most important thing on here. Let us know right now.
I think we need to recruit 3 or 4 that are going to make a massive impact to the team. We need to sort out the futures, obviously, of the ones that are there. And it may be that I feel that we need to change 1 or 2 that are in contract as well. So there's no exact number on it. I need to make a strong team. At the moment, we have a recipe to a certain level. But in that game, we fell short at the weekend. After it, there's a lot of emotions. You take 2 or 3 days to assess it. It's your job to assess it. It's not your job to be a fan. And it's your job to sit back and assess the players and who's got the appetite and the quality to take us where we want to go. And I'll keep that in-house, but I'm very clear on that. I've been clear on it for a while, but I'm definitely clear on the direction we need to go. It's just we're not at the summer window.
Very interesting stuff. But again, what do you think? That's the whole aim of the game on here. So 01419511025. What did you make of what you just heard, you two?
Yeah, I totally understand where he's coming from. He's right to sound positive moving forward. Disappointed after Sunday, of course, because Celtic showed that there's still a big way for Rangers to go to close that gap that everyone talks about. The interesting thing for me that he said there was, and I've said from day one, he's got to be given the same time. Ange Postecoglou's 18 months ahead with his plan and all the players he's brought in. His transfer markets have been absolutely spot on. You've got to say that. I'm a bit surprised you say 3 or 4 gone. I thought, looking at that Rangers squad, you'll look at maybe quite a few going out. Your definite number one is a goalkeeper. You've got to bring a goalkeeper in. Whether you bring 2, I don't know, but definitely 1. If Kent goes, you're looking the wide areas. I think you're looking the wide areas on the right-hand side. So they're both areas I think you've got to strengthen there. I look up top, Morelos, Colak. I think if Morelos moves on, you've got to bring another centre-forward in. So I think he's underplaying the 3 or 4. I think he may need a bit more.
It's difficult because, to be fair, Mark, he did also say it was fluid and acknowledges that there are contractual situations that need cleared up. And he was talking about players that will make a big impact. He might also include, you know, squad sort of players on top of that. But still, he did say 3 or 4 quality additions, which becomes the headline. It's the bit that jumps out for Rangers fans, and I think a lot probably will say, oh, we need more than that, whether that is the case or not.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with us here, and I think most Rangers fans would agree as well. You know, three or four quality players that affect the first team is certainly needed, because it's been the same players over what the course of maybe 3 years really that's carried Rangers, and it just looks a bit tired now, if I'm honest. You know, Tavernier, Goldson, Morelos, McGregor, you know, Barisic even, all the same ones that have to go to the well time and time again, and it's coming up short against a Celtic team who are ever evolving. You know, Ange Postecoglou is not going to stand still. So this Rangers team, it'd be foolish to think that they can keep up with that side. So I think Beal knows that. I think 3-4, he's maybe just said that. I think he'll go for a bigger number in the summer.
Because there's also a scenario where Michael Beale's got half a season, not quite, whatever it is, a third of a season to play. He wants to win the Scottish Cup. He's not exactly going to sit there and go, we need 12 new players.
I'm wiping them all out.
Do you know what I mean? So is that worth bearing in mind?
I think he's playing his cards very close to his chest, Gordon. He'll have an idea. Yes, you're correct. You don't. There's guys there that will probably know within themselves that they're not going to be offered contracts. They're not going to be there. They have to make way. Also depends on, you know, he's playing sensible there, three or four, because out of that, he'll probably be looking to get people off the bit. He talked there about guys on contracts. You know, so you're looking at one or two round about that first team that are on contracts that you'll need to shift on, because every club will tell you, you've got to find money to go and spend it and improve what you've got. That costs more money, so you've got to make that sort of you've got to bridge that gap.
I know it all seems negative, Mark, and a lot of that is justified. But, you know, Michael Beale saying we have progressed ultimately. I mean, they must have. Are they better now than they were under the previous manager?
Yes, of course they are. Well, the points total tells you that. His points haul since he's come in tells you that. You know, a cup final stands out, of course. In fairness to Michael Beale, he did say before the cup final, look, if we win it or we lose it, it's going to still be the same opinion on the Monday morning. There's work to be done. So he did say that before.
Must have brought some of it into sharper focus, though, no?
Yeah, of course it did.
Certainly has for fans.
When he says there that, you know, the reaction over one game, losing one game, has been great. Well, that is Glasgow. That's what he's signed up for. When you go into a cup final, when you've got a squad like Rangers, who should be getting to cup finals, you're going to come up against the best side, who should be getting to cup finals. If you lose it, it is going to be brought into sharp focus. So he needs to get used to that, the expectations on his shoulders in these big games.
Jeffrey's a Rangers fan. First on, Jeffrey, three or four quality additions, Michael Beale says. Is that enough? Is that the type of number you had in mind?
Well, yes. Just when I was listening to you, I think he needs to concentrate on the defence, because where I sit, I've got a debenture seat at Hampden, so we were directly in line with the goal. When Moy crossed that ball, I thought, here we go, they're going to score. And the defence stood still and let Kyogo score. And it was more or less the same with the second goal. I mean, Rangers fans have to realise that Celtic are streaks ahead just now, because Postecoglou, managing in Japan, knows the players, and he's signing good players. Now Beale has to realise that he has to do the same. Basically, it was a good game on Sunday. It was a good game to watch. We didn't have any VAR, which was good. I thought it might have been more one-sided. It wasn't one-sided. When Morelos scored the goal to bring it back to 2-1, I thought, here we go, we might have a chance to come back and maybe get into extra time, but Celtic are just too good.
Jeffrey talks about, you know, prioritising defence and the nature of the goals conceded. Look, we've gone over Sunday specifically quite a lot, but does it come from a sort of full team, you know, rather than just individual members of the back four or whatever? Is it not how Celtic get into those positions against Rangers that would be maybe areas to look at?
Well, you can talk about, if you look at Celtic, they're brilliant at pressing from the front with the energy and the pace that they've got. If you look at the weekend with the goals, Jeffrey was talking about Aaron Moy. Aaron Moy played the ball from the middle of part out to Taylor in the wide area, who crossed it in for Kyogo. Aaron Moy also played Hatate in with the run from a midfield player, causing the defence problems for the second goal. So yeah, you can look at the, you can question the back four, and you're looking at goalkeeper that probably this will be his last season. But I think there's also a strengthening to be done in the middle of park. I thought Celtic dominated mostly the middle of park as well. And if they're going to get any success against Celtic, they've got to get in there and compete with it.
I'm asking a lot of you, right? Because this three or four thing, although it jumps out, we've said earlier, we don't know if Kent stays, we don't know if Morelos stays. That might also mean sort of other guys coming into the squad on top. But if we do take three or four at face value, quality additions, three or four, what are you looking at then, Mark? Area wise, I mean, does goalie have to be one of them?
Well, goalkeepers are given, right? So you can take that. He needs a new goalkeeper.
So a goalie,
I think the three, plus three or four,
right?
So,
okay.
Listen, I'm with Jeffrey here. I'm not convinced that the left side of that defence, Davies and Barisic, you only have to analyse a goal Celtic alone have scored against Rangers. And I'm talking back to last February when Ange Postecoglou was in.
And that wouldn't be Ben Davies' fault then, of course.
No, but Barisic played a huge part in that. But going forward, you're obviously looking at a striker probably, because Morelos is up in the air. And I agree with Daz, that right side, although Sicalas came in,
and done all right for years, is it not?
It certainly has. There is no real symmetry in the side. Kent's one side, heavily dependent on him, and the right side is take your pick. So that's the standout one. Midfield area, when you looked at Sunday Celtic's midfield to Rangers, there was a huge difference in how dynamic Celtic was, how mobile Celtic's midfield was, how willing they were to run beyond the strikers. I didn't see Lundstrom, didn't see Kamara. When Jack's on the side, serves a different role, doesn't he do it either? You know, if you're trying to, if you're wanting your midfielders to score goals and create space, you've got to have guys willing to go beyond, and Rangers don't have that.
So I mean, what Mark's saying is a full team there.
But this is the thing, right? If it was three or four quality additions, additions, I keep saying auditions for some reason.
Is that because he was,
because I'm thinking about you and your music video last night, we'll get to that. What would be the three or four absolute stick out, no doubt about it, quality areas that need upgrades then for you?
We're taking the goalkeeper out of the equation.
But are you though? Or is that one of
them? Well, I think, well, 100%. I think that you need a goalkeeper that's going to get you. McGregor has bailed Rangers out time after time because he's been a magnificent goalkeeper.
Indulge me then, because it might be more than this, and we don't know who will leave, right? As it stands right now, if I was to say to you, you can pick four, because that's the number, you can make four, you can strengthen four positions in that starting 11, what's your priority?
Goalkeeper.
Right.
I've got to say that this will surprise a few. I would try and get a centre back in, because I do not think Golson Davis partnership's going to be good enough to go and compete with Celtic.
Do you want a new left back?
He comes in for criticism, but I think there's more to worry me than that. I think you need a decent wide player. I think Sakala's in and out for me. I think he, you know, to ask him to go to the well every single week, I don't think he's got that in his locker. And I would certainly get someone up top as well, because I think you're going to lose Morelos. So if you're going to prioritise it, I think that's where you've got to look at. I can see the arguments for Barisic. Going forward, I think the lad's terrific. Defensive wise, he gets caught, his body position's poor at times, but going forward, I think he's, and but if you gave him the protection and the right centre backs were there to cover for him at times,
just get 10 guys, run him then, just in a semi circle so nobody can get. He's a defender.
Well, hold
he
on.
Does not defend.
Hold on a minute. Celtic, I've got two centre halves who I think are very, very good players, and their two full backs go up the pitch. Carter Vickers and Starfelt are very good, experienced defenders that cover the full back areas for them when they get caught out.
Two full backs for Celtic can defend. 1v1, first and foremost, can defend. Barisic cannot defend 1v1.
I've just said that, but going forward, his weakness is obviously his body position, and he's get caught a few times, especially in the Celtic games. But you're asking for four players. You've got to look at what is so, your goalkeeper's the priority right away. That's my number one. You know, you can argue that people will say, well, we've got Colak up top that can score goals. Yes, you have, but I think you'll need someone else up there with them throughout the season. The wide area is Rangers. That's their Achilles heel for ages, is in the right-hand side. You know, Sakala's went in there and gave them that little spark now, but is he the answer going forward? I think Michael Beale will have his own strength and position. Do you look in the mid-left part, they've got players, Raskin's just come in, Cantwell's there, Tillman. So you can work the sort of a middle of the park.
Yeah, and again, you don't know if does Tillman, is he one of them if you turn that into a permanent signing? Lots of questions to be answered. What do you think of what you've heard today, Michael Beale, talking about what he learned and the rebuild and what he needs going forward and being positive? John Lundstrom says the gap's actually not that big. We'll hear from him next. But join in, please.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here at 0141 951 1025. We're about to hear from John Lundstrom. Says the gap between Celtic and Rangers is not actually that big. What do you think? We'll bring in Neil first though, because Neil's got some thoughts, I think, on what we heard from Michael Beale and replacements and revamps and all the words that are doing the rounds this week. What do you think, Neil?
I think Rangers are coming to the end of their cycle. A lot of the players are still there from Gerrard's time, and the players that Gio's brought in haven't really been there. They've either been injured or they've not hit what we've expected. I think if you're looking at terms of McGregor, McLaughlin, their time's coming, the age of them. So yeah, you're needing a goalkeeper. I would like to see the likes of Butland come in if we can afford them. Yeah, I think he's a quality keeper and have done for a long time. But also, like, Gordon stole a bit of my thunder earlier on, because I was going to say Barisic, we've had him for 3-4 years now and he always gets caught on the inside. He's always, that through ball, he always gets caught on it and can't defend it. His body shape's ridiculous and there's nobody there to challenge him. Yilmaz is injured. We don't know where he's currently at. But also, Ben Davis, $4 million, and looks like he can defend. But see, Airily, I just don't think he can challenge for a ball. Even if you look for a corner, before you had Katic, Hollander, when we had corners, we could challenge. We could go and attack them, and you could get goals from them. I think, is that $4 million that we've possibly wasted? Then you're looking at Ryan Jack's contract's coming to an end. He's always injured. Great service for us, but I think it's time to move on from him. So you're needing another defensive midfielder, box-to-box midfielder. The right-hand side for Rangers has been a problem since Candyman left. Matondo injured, not hit the heights. Sakala, hot and cold. His touch and control is not that of a great player. If Sakala has to think, he screws it up. He's one of the ones that's better off just going and doing. And then obviously you're looking at losing Alfredo as well. So we need the top. So I think you're looking at quite a spine there to be able to challenge Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, Cammy Bell made interest. He kind of picked a number last night. He said out of the starting 11 Sunday, 4 he thinks, you know, would in an ideal world starts a game next season.
Four.
Interesting. Who's the four?
Tavernier, Goldson, Kent and
wouldn't it be far away Morelos, with that, I think.
Kent and Morelos,
I think. Well, out of the start, yeah, it must have been something like that if you're talking about the starting 11, because I know Raskin obviously didn't start the game, in case you hadn't heard much debate about that. So again, look, I don't want to pin Michael Beale to this 3 or 4 comment too much, because he did say it was fluid. We don't know, but you know, does Tillman stay, Kent, Morelos, all the rest of it. But again, Neil is given the exact type of reaction I thought we would get when I heard Michael Beale say that today. Most Rangers fans are hearing this 3 or 4 and thinking, I believe it's more than that.
So do I. I've said it from the start. I think that obviously he's brought his two in, Raskin and Cantwell. He's maybe looking, saying, right, okay, if I put another 3, 4, I would probably say 4. I don't think for a minute he's got 3 to say, yeah, I'd be happy with 3. So you get 4, that's 6 signings from January in the summer. It just depends on the players that will leave. You know, question marks. Morelos, will he leave? Possibly. Kent, will he leave? Possibly. That frees up big money as well. So the board might just look at that and think, right, okay, you can add to that list. I think there's a good argument there to say that he needs more than four. I really do. I think he needs more than four. And I think if he could get more than four, I think he'd be delighted as a manager.
Is there not also a case sometimes, Mark, that's even if they're guys that are, how do I describe it, like, you know, almost kind of on the fence, you know, not saying that they're majorly culpable, not saying that they're terrible, not saying that they're complete duds, but is that sometimes at football clubs you get to a point where you just need to refresh. You wouldn't, if, don't err on the side of caution with it. Don't think, oh well, you know, maybe that guy, maybe he's done us a turn and maybe he could st-. If there's anyone that provokes that type of thought in you, is it time to actually just pull the trigger?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, I think so. I think Neil touched on that there when he said that this Rangers team looks like it's came to the end of its cycle. I think he means a full squad, and I would tend to agree with that. You know, even the subs that are coming off the bench, we'll always compare it to this, the other side is to Celtic. The subs that are coming off the bench for Celtic excite the fans, and they, you know, they don't make any difference to the team. You look at Rangers' bench, and when they come off, is the Rangers fans excited when they see Scott Wright coming off the bench, or when Ryan Jack comes off the bench, or whoever else comes off? Are they excited that, oh, here we go, this is going to make such a... No, they're not. So you're right, the full squad needs a refresh. But Daz said early on, the difficulty is when you've got players on contracts and you're wanting to shift them, it's difficult.
And then, to be fair, you've got that other issue that's hampering Rangers way too often, is injuries. Because you might get excited about Kamar Roof coming off the bench if he was ever fit enough to do it regularly.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, you've clearly seen what he...
Well, that's it. And Hadji is another one. I'm sure the Rangers fans were excited when they heard the news he was back, and he caught a glimpse of him, and then you don't see him again. So it's definitely a problem. You could say that about Suter as well, you know, getting close to fitness maybe, and then no, it's another setback. So hugely frustrating for the fans in that respect. But Beale has to make a decision sooner or later on this. You just cannot keep going season to season with the same kind of core group of maybe 10 to 12 players and expect different results.
Neil, do you think we start to see any of this imminently? I mean, I know there's only so much you can do in February, in March, sorry, the window's not open. We saw James Sands going back to his parent club yesterday. Do you think there are any players that really damaged themselves at the weekend?
Well, Mark hit the head. When I see Scott Wright warming up, the hands go cover my face, and I can't believe what I'm looking at. And no offence to the boy, but he's just not Rangers quality, as is Matondo and quite a few of the players there. Rangers business, I don't think you'll really hear much from Rangers doing any business unless it's some good freebies. Rangers have attacked that market quite successfully over the last couple of years, getting Bosman and guys that have contracts have expired. So unless we're hearing anything from them in terms of goalkeepers, I don't think you'll hear too much until the summer. But players going out, we know the Rangers fans know who all needs to go, and I think there's about 9 of them are basically having come to the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny because like there's plenty of time to get someone to specific targets and stuff in the summer, but I think Neil makes a really good point about, you know, what sort of market, because it's easy for us or anyone else to say they need 4, they need 5, they need 10. That's the number. You then need them to be good, obviously.
Yeah, better than what you're releasing.
And I noticed today, this morning, did you see it? Preston goalkeeper Freddie Woodman. But we know the English market can be expensive. The fee that was mentioned in the paper was $3.5 million, which isn't cheap. And then Preston's manager Ryan Lowe, presumably joking, was asked about it, and he says, "Yeah, they can have him for $20 million." I think obviously he's got his tongue slightly in his cheek there, but. And that is the next challenge, Gordon. Once you get beyond the number, okay, are they good players? Are you getting value? The English market can be good and has been good for Rangers, but it also doesn't tend to come cheap in comparison to elsewhere, depending on, unless you can find a, you know, a Joe Aribo loophole sort of thing coming to the end of your contract.
And also with improving your squad and trying to get better players in to close that gap, you're going to increase your wage bill, Gordon. Neil makes a point there about nine. I think that Rangers' transfer market in the summer will depend solely on how many Michael Beale can get out the door, first and foremost. Because as I said, it frees up space, it frees up wages. I've got about 11 or 12 written down that you could make a case of getting them out the door and bringing in fresh.
But for a lot of them, you'll need somebody to want them, you mean?
Yeah. There's obviously ones there where their contract's up. You've got your two big ones, your Kent Morelos. There are the doubts whether they're going to sign or not sign. The question mark is, are you prepared to give Morelos the sort of salary that he's on, which is probably a big salary, one of the biggest at Rangers? But the rest of them, there's a couple there. And the ones that I think frustrates Michael Beale just now, and until Mark said, I completely forgot about him. Sure. You know, he's come
meant
in
to be back in the squad, by the way.
Yeah, right. he's come this in week. And I like him as a defender, but
you never know, this might be the start of it.
Could be. And hopefully for a boy he gets a run of games without injuries.
Thank you to Neil. Let's bring in Stephen and East Kilbride. What sort of areas annoying you the most, Stephen, when you hear about, you know, three or four quality additions? You know, what kind of area would you prioritise?
I think pretty much everybody before me has covered off what I was going to say.
Nonsense, you can elaborate perfectly.
Well, I mean, initially I was phoning up, and again, Mark mentioned about this, right? Jeffrey was talking about the defence, but if the defence is not getting protection from the midfield, and Mark said, you know, that the midfield wasn't dynamic. So there was a real lack of energy in that midfield, in my opinion, with Kamara, Lundstrom, and I felt Tillman's not the best defensively minded midfielder. Now, so there wasn't a lot of protection. And I mean, if you looked at that game, in the first 10-15 minutes, Rangers tried to press, but Celtic managed to get through the press. And that was because there was lots of pockets of space being left. So the units weren't working cohesively. Now, you know, you could sit there and go through the squad and say, right, that player, that player, that player, that player. You know, I just felt, and I wanted to ask Gordon and Mark if that's where they felt that there was a lack of energy in the midfield, and the midfield wasn't covering the defence and wasn't getting up and supporting the strikers, which left lots of pockets of space for Celtic to play through the press.
Yep, for me, I mean, that was my observation on the day, that the vantage point that we had, you got a clear picture of what was going on. You know, it looks like Celtic have got loads of space in the midfield because their midfielders run more than any other midfield. It's not rocket science. You see Rio Hatate and you see Moyne, you see McGregor, they don't stand still. They empty spaces for others to come into. That requires energy and, you know, an unselfish work ethic to clear space. If you look at McGregor and Hatate, they're doing it constantly. And when we saw the Rangers midfield, it was fairly static. You know, Lundstrom and Kamara just sat there. Tillman, it's times Tillman just didn't look right to me. And I know everybody said that, but the lack of energy that he showed suggested to me that he was maybe carrying something. So there was a start difference there for me. And if Rangers want to match it or get better, they have to improve in that area. But I've got to say, I thought when Raskin came on and Cantwell came on, and even Jack, it looked instantly better on the hour mark. Whether that was the midfield and Celtic tiring maybe a bit.
It also came on when Rangers scored, though, didn't they?
So that brings energy shift automatically.
So Stephen, let's focus in on that area then, since all the talk about it is about, you know, rebuilding and whatnot. To take the players in there. So Ryan Jack is out of contract. Scott Arfield's out of contract with Stephen Davis, obviously, but he's got that long term injury. Glenn Kamara's had a lot of criticism on the show last night. I think one caller said his 7-year-old daughter would ragdoll Glenn Kamara, which was perhaps a bit harsh. When you look at those individuals that are in that area of the pitch, who's worth sticking by? Who's perhaps coming to the end of their time at the club?
Well, I know that, like, Ryan Jack's contract's up and he's been rather injury prone. You know, people might say that he's made of glass, but I think when he's fit, he's very capable and he brings a bit more energy and a bit more of a forward momentum. You know, so like you talked, if Mark said there, I think when the three players came on at half time, the dynamic changed. You know, you've got players that want to play on the front foot. You know, you talk about the Celtic players, Naren, Moy, Hatate, Cal McGregor. you know, Callum McGregor is always looking for that proven pass, whereas you look at Lundstrom and Kamara, they seem quite settled on passing it sideways and not trying to drive momentum. You know, Arfield, you'd probably let go. I'd move Kamara on if I could. I don't know whether we'd be able to move Lundstrom on. You know, we've got Raskin, we've got Cantwell. I'm undecided about Cantwell. I do like the look of Raskin. But, I mean, if you're looking at other players, you know, yeah, Borna Barisic at times can look pretty poor defensively. Tav doesn't look great defensively. I think Goldson and Davies have got the potential to make a good partnership. The right wing, somebody talked about Candeas. You know, could have probably move on Scott Wright. You know, would you move on Sakala if you get 2 or 3 million? There's a big job required. And certainly with centre forwards, and we don't know if Ryan Kent's going to stay. So there's a lot that needs to be done.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting few months, that's for sure. Thank you, Stephen and East Kilbride, who put it all very well. I'm sure you'll agree. You don't have to, and if you want to pick up on anything that's been said, now is the time to do it. 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. And speaking of social media sensations, you two are honestly all over my Instagram this afternoon. Have you seen it?
No, what did we do?
I did see it.
I took a video of you when you were asked to record a dramatic reading of The Gruffalo. Remember the other night?
Oh, it was the poem.
It was for something else in here, and I filmed you both while you were doing it.
Are we getting a bit of criticism?
Because it's World Book Day.
Yeah, when
that was the whole point. So I've stuck the video on my Instagram story, and my word, some very, very interesting feedback. But I think I could be your agent. I'm going to get you some dramatic, you know, like children's libraries and parties and stuff like that. I think you could go along.
Let's go to the big stores.
Do some dramatic readings.
By the way, sounded brilliant. I get in my car, take the kids to school, switched on the car, and just by chance, and my wee boy said, "Is that you?"
Is it you?
The mouse.
With dad.
He says,
"The fox."
Who's the fox? It's wrecking the reading.
Do you hear it back?
I would like to hear it.
World Book Day.
A mouse took a stroll through the deep dark wood. A fox saw the mouse, and the mouse looked good.
That's Marvin.
Where are you going to, little brown mouse? Come and have lunch in my underground house.
It's terribly kind of you, fox, but no, I'm going to have lunch with a Gruffalo.
A Gruffalo? What's a Gruffalo?
I've heard enough. I get, there's 30 seconds left of that, but my face has gone red on behalf of you two.
I didn't even play anymore.
There's not enough time left.
Did you like the narrator, Marvin Bartley, at the start?
He was
as well?
Great, by the way. He's got a voice for it.
He's good. Marvin and I could link up but together.
You sounded very husky, very.
But yeah, fox is.
Like,
a fox,
character.
Yeah, a fox is more of a.
See, when he said come for lunch in my underground house or something, just sounded.
You wouldn't sound get a voice of a fox chapping your door and going, fancy a wee bit of lunch? Oh, come to my house.
Grizzly.
Aye, a fox has got a bit of bout.
I thought it was a girl fox.
He strolls about, you know, and
didn't he specify it was a male?
Bins.
Honestly, though, the video's worse. So if you go onto my Instagram, you'll see those two, your facial expressions are.
Am I taking a bit of criticism? That's
no,
all.
Do you know what? Just light-hearted fun this
look,
time.
I'll be leaving soon anyway. I've been handed my notice. And
when your DJ and video comes out,
we'll get to that later on. Don't you worry. I've got big plans for you
DJ
later
Daz
on. But I wanted to deal
on.
With your dramatic reading first, so I can pass on your number for anyone who needs dramatic readings at any.
As long as the public enjoyed good. That, then I'm fine to, you know.
Brilliant.
Obviously, right, be a fee.
Back to the serious stuff. Tony is in Blackpool. How's it going, Tony? Are you well?
Hi, good evening, Gordon. Yeah, I'm very good. Thank
good,
you.
Good,
and good evening, Mark, and the other Gordon as well.
Evening, Tony.
Good evening, Tony. From the Fox.
Right, enough, please. Please. Tony's on to make a serious footballing point. Tony, I'm so sorry. Take it away.
That's okay. Listen, I don't know about World Book Day. That would give the kids nightmares, don't you think? And anyway, gents, there's a couple of things, a couple of points I wanted to make. And I have to apologise because of the way I'm listening. I may be a couple of calls behind. So if I'm repeating anything, my apologies.
Oh, you're fine.
I know you were talking about John Lundstrom and you were going to be doing an interview and I haven't heard that yet.
But here we go, right. I'll put you out your misery very quickly since you asked.
One game. It was a one game. We didn't turn up, they turned up. I think the combination, as I've just said, for that
didn't complement each other well. We didn't turn up, they turned up, so it looked like there was a massive gap, but I don't think there is a massive gap. It's a one game, and it looked like that on the weekend. But
what do you think, Tony?
Nonsense, absolute nonsense. So the first point I want to make in relation to that is Celtic hardly got out of second gear on Sunday. Celtic done what they needed to do and were so comfortable. Now, I know, obviously, we conceded a goal to make it 2-1. And it doesn't matter who you're playing. When you're only one goal up and it's a cup final, and of course it is against your rivals, then it is going to be nervy. But really, let's be honest, Celtic didn't look like conceding a second goal. And for me, they didn't look in trouble at any point. And I think that that could have been hammered home at the end, but for a couple of poor finishes. And it could really have been 3 or 4-1. So I do think that Celtic are streets ahead at the moment. And that kind of takes me on to my next point. And it's a question mainly for Gordon, but it's just something I've picked up on that's been said a lot recently. Apparently, you know, one of the reasons we are so far ahead is because Ange Postecoglou is 18 months ahead of Michael Beale. Now, I've been watching and listening to shows like this and watching football for 40-odd years. I've never in my life heard this statement or this comparison before. Where did this come into things? It's almost, I know that we are getting credit for the football we're playing. I know that everyone knows that we are rightly where we should be, and there's no question about that. But when did this become a thing that, well, we're so far ahead because Ange Postecoglou's had 18 months longer than Michael Beale? I've never heard that before. I don't see how that has any relevance, especially when you look at 12 months ago when Rangers were in a European final, you know, and the year before that they'd won the league. And so, you know, I just think that's just utter nonsense. And I have to say, Gordon, you're saying it more than anyone.
Well, what do you mean nonsense? Because I don't really know what you mean. It is a fact though, isn't it? As well, like, what do you mean it's nonsense?
But when has that ever in football, when has that ever been a narrative that's been used? I never ever heard anyone saying.
But it does sound like you're quite sort of unaware that it is just that compliment to Celtic. When people mention it in the context, right, you sound very angry about it or very offended that it has been brought up for the first time in football history, apparently. But it's just people saying that when you watch Celtic, you can see that they've had this 18 months, they're so well drilled, they know what they're doing, you can see it there, and Rangers aren't there yet. We don't know if they ever do get there, maybe they don't, but is that not all it is? I don't know how you've managed to find something sinister in there.
It's not so much sinister, but it's just almost like an excuse that's being used. Well, no wonder they're so far ahead because they've had this time longer. Can I ask you, and it is a serious question, do any of you guys, have you ever heard any other managers have that comparison made, you know, that, oh, well, no wonder Guardiola's so far ahead because he's had so much longer in that job than, you know, the Man United manager or whatever the case may be. I genuinely think it's just something I've honestly, genuinely, as something that I've never, ever heard used.
But I think my reason for not being able to give Tony an example would be because it's just not that deep. You know, it's just like, it just seems like it's a kind of obvious throwaway comment that I don't think requires huge analysis. But Tony may disagree.
Yeah, I think nowadays a manager will be judged by his transfer windows, Gordon. You know, and obviously I think what we're trying to say is Postecoglou has come in, his transfer windows have been superb, right? Michael Beale's come into a situation where, and Rangers fans are on tonight telling us that it's more than four players and how many have to go, and it's a rebuilding, and, you know, complimenting Celtic in a way, saying, you know, the gap's so big that we have to do so much work in the summer. I think it's, I wouldn't get too caught up about it. I don't think it's a criticism. I think it's more a compliment to the Celtic.
Definitely not a criticism, yeah, it's in any way, shape or form.
I think it's a good compliment to the job that the Celtic manager's doing.
And you did, to be fair, regularly on this show say, you know, Ange Postecoglou needs windows, he needs time to get the team in his form. Whether you mentioned a specific number of months, I couldn't be sure. But
yeah, but when he came in, Ange Postecoglou basically came into a mess as well. Probably a bigger mess than what Michael Beale came into. And he certainly, and remember at that time, There was a lot of doubters out there because nobody had heard of him. He didn't bring in his own staff. So there was concerns from the Celtic supporters. And that's the reason when I was saying, right, OK, before you start judging people, you've got to give them an opportunity to get into the transfer windows, bring in their own players, see what style of football they're bringing, see what they're bringing to the table. And you've got to say, Ange Postecoglou has ticked every box and been brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to remember, in this country, it's two teams that can win the league. Let's be honest about it. So when a new manager comes into any of those roles, they're always going to get compared to the other manager and how the other manager has got their side playing to be successful. Because if it's a new manager, it's generally because the other one's been sacked because they're not achieving. So I think it is natural, whether we hear it a lot. I would argue that you do hear it a lot down south. With Ten Hag, it's just came to Man United and building something. He gets compared to Guardiola and Klopp a lot, Graham Potter at Chelsea. So I think it is something, but here it's so focused on Rangers and Celtic that it's more prominent.
Thank you very much to Tony in Blackpool. It's that time already. In fact, we're late for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. You two have had a busy week, I must admit. Dramatic readings of children's books. You starred in a music video last night. It's a very special anniversary for you as well, Mark Wilson. We'll need to get to that. So it's 01419511025. And if you want to call us before 7 o'clock, it could be you who plays Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel are here. They've not been snatched away by any talent agencies after their dramatic readings on World Book Day earlier on. Funnily enough, William did tweet to say that his six-year-old is mightily impressed with the storytelling, and we now have a new listener.
Brilliant.
Apparently,
yeah. We're here for
William's six-year-old. Listeners. I think is about to be.
Does William like the fox?
Suitably confused like the fox. At the attempts on this, though. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time then, straight back to your calls. I was going to say we were starting to see the dust settle from Sunday, but I actually don't think we were. Last night the phone lines were mobbed, and then Michael Beale speaks today, talks about three or four quality additions, speaks about looking forward, still being optimistic. John Lundstrom says the gap's not even as big as people are making out. And all of a sudden it's right back to it again. So if you fancy that, please pick up the phone. And you Dundee United fans, you've got a new manager. Is he the right man for the job? He's Jim Goodwin, and he welcomes his former team Aberdeen to Tannadice on Saturday. Scottish football never lets you down, eh? Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit tonight with James in Hillhead. How's it going, James?
Very well, guys, how are you?
Not bad. Partick Thistle, well, they've started to pick up, so you've got a bit of confidence to come on Beat the Pundit. Is that the way it works?
Something like that. Last time I called in, I think we're on the Premier League.
Oof. No, it's going back.
Well, SPFL, Premiership.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going back a bit anyway. Well, you never know. Never know, getting close to the playoffs. We'll
and then
see.
We've got the Gordon Dalziel derby at the weekend. Thistle against Raith Rovers.
Listen, by the way, James is the only Thistle fan in the planet that's claiming you, so that you should take that as a victory. I was thinking, who are Glenn Afton playing when
you might be more fondly remembered by the Wave fans, but that's just the way things go sometimes. It's a funny old game.
Okay, James.
Heads, it is Mark Wilson, and tails, it's the fox. So who are you in the book?
That was a mouse.
The mouse and the fox.
He played a good part, mouse.
Well, he's timid.
Yeah, I'm
and
the
you're
fox.
Sly.
No, that's true. More of a strut round the streets.
I think so. Anyway, right.
The streets. You need bin bags.
Smell like bins. And making that really loud noise when you. Nah, never mind. It's tails, so it's you, Gordon.
It's
the fox up against James from Hillhead. So what we do here is give Gordon some Clyde 2 to listen to. We get the clock ready and we set up the questions, James. It's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Do you come back to them if I don't know it?
We just carry on right through them, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Right, good man, 30 seconds, your time starts now. Albin Ayeti is on loan from Celtic at a team in which country?
Switzerland.
Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain?
Good, I don't even know his name, Conor Goldson.
Which footballer released a book in 2019 titled I, Robot?
Zlatan.
Who received more caps for Scotland, Malky Mackay or Derek McInnes?
McInnes.
James Sands has left Rangers to return to which club?
Colorado Rapids.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
I think they were hard because I'm looking at his face.
They're up there.
Do you think they're tough?
There.
Really?
I'm telling you, I do.
Yeah, they
not,
are actually. Yeah.
I do not like him doing the quiz.
Producer Chris.
He's hopeless. He doesn't know anything about football. A rugby question in there. Okay, I'll say Wasps.
Are you ready?
There you go.
Albion Ayeti is on loan from Celtic at a team in which country?
Oh, Switzerland.
Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain?
Pass.
Which footballer released a book in 2019 titled I, Robot?
Pass. Oh, Peter Crouch.
Who received more caps for Scotland, Malky Mackay or Derek McInnes?
Malky Mackay.
James Sands has left Rangers to return to which club?
New York City.
What is the traditional name of Livingston's Tony Macaroni Arena?
Alvindale.
What was that? Say that again.
Is it Alvindale?
Alvindale.
You've watched too much Chipmunks.
What is it, Almondale? Almondale. What is it?
Somebody reset him.
What is it?
Almondvale.
That's what I meant. Oh, I must get that.
Beef.
Oh, I must get
that.
Not
a chance, James. We can't give him that, can we?
Well, jury's out.
No chance. No, listen.
He'll have to go to VAR says no.
He's not getting
Shut
it. Don't
up,
worry.
Jimmy.
Albion Ayeti is on loan at Celtic. On loan from Celtic at a team in which country? Somehow you both got that, and it's Switzerland. Sturm Graz. Well done. I'm impressed because I thought that was tough.
Well done, James. I'm happy with that.
Wait, yeah. Sturm Graz is Austria.
Aye. So it is. Aye. See Aye. That producer Chris, what's happening here?
I was going to say Austria.
I've just looked down at my paper. It says Switzerland brackets Sturm Graz. Come on, Chris.
Listen, this game's cancelled.
So where is he? He's in Austria.
Oh, this is a nightmare. No.
DL's got your number.
Right. That is cancelled.
That's brilliant for James.
Get a point for getting that one, that wrong one, right?
James, the problem is, I thought it was maybe the only one you got right, so we'll find out.
He's won the point. He's saying for getting the wrong one right.
Producer Chris is scrambling. He's in my ear. He's going, it's because he's Swiss. I know he's Swiss. That doesn't help us anyway. 0-0, right? Or one each. Doesn't matter, really, does it?
Your
level. Your level. Who did James Tavernier replace as Rangers captain? Lee Wallace.
Oh, no. Did James get that?
No, he didn't. The footballer who released a book, it is World Book Day and all that, in 2019 called iRobot. It was Peter Crouch, but you passed it.
No,
you did.
You did.
You passed it.
That's a great shout.
Brilliant.
How did you know that?
Because of the robot dance.
The robot dance.
Don't do it for us. Go and stand up and see it.
I'd do it. No, my knee's killing me.
So none of you get that. So it's still 0-0. Here was my James. If you ever play again, see if it's a 50-50. You can't be taking as long as that. It took ages on your 50-50. Malky Mackay or Derek McInnes for the most Scotland caps. It is Malky Mackay. So you went for the wrong one, James. Derek
Malky James.
No, he did. He got two, and Malky Mackay got five, so not
James
much.
James, go and get a donut out and just look at the centre.
Hold
That's
on.
What you're getting.
You're only 1-0 up at this
doesn't
point.
Matter. I'm on the victory here.
James Sands has left to return to New York City. 2-0. Gordon DL.
Jimmy boy.
And it
the
good,
fox has foxed you.
Good job that Almondale or Alvindale or whatever
Alvindale.
It was. Didn't count in the end.
Would you not have given me that?
Under no circumstances.
I thought that was a great guess. I'll tell you what, I would give James the first one.
It really doesn't matter. You won anyway. Hard lines, James. It was technically a zero, but we'll give you one out of sympathy.
Well done, Gordon.
Well Good done,
man.
James. Unlucky, mate.
That was James.
The questions are terrible, right? One, they're not even correct. So how are we supposed to get the right answers?
That was a blow for producer Chris, I will concede, because you have slaughtered him and then...
Aye.
He's, yeah.
This guy, I don't even know where he makes these questions up. 2019, that's not even a Scottish football question.
Doesn't matter, it's World Book Day and you'll see why later. I've got a wee treat for you later on in the show.
Well, am I getting a book?
I've got a further book day treat on top of you two reading The Gruffalo.
Good.
Yeah. Thought it.
Awesome. Anyway, it was a victory. Another one Tuesday night. How did it go last night? Has the listeners won any yet?
No, actually.
No. There's not much competition out there nowadays.
Five was it 5-0 or 5-1 for Marvin last night?
Yeah, he needed some better opposition.
They don't know their stuff.
That's me. I've not even looked at a paper or anything today. I'm just
is that different from any other day?
No, just I've never looked at a paper for you.
Just out of curiosity. Right, the elephant in the room. I have to discuss it. I've been. Oh, I can't even focus on the first part of the show because I've been desperate to get it off my chest. We've been speaking for the last couple of weeks how you were due to star in a music video.
Yeah.
Yesterday was the day, and someone sent me a picture of it last night. I tweeted it on my Twitter account at GordonDuncan7 to check it out and tell me, is it or is it not the worst picture you've ever seen in the history of photography? Because you dressed as a DJ with gold chains around your neck, sunglasses on.
Look, I'm
horrific.
I am going to make you guys, honestly, your world when the video comes out. And it will be released. I think we're going abroad to release it first and foremost. It's a song by Kenny Lee Roberts, terrific, terrific singer, called Giving It Travolta, obviously.
That's what the song's called?
Yeah. By the way,
I play a DJ in it, right?
And I've got to say, George Bowie will tell you, because he's released a thing with Kevin Maguire, Wagon Wheel.
Right.
And Kevin was at me last night to maybe hook up with him and do a bit in the future. Gordon, I was sensational. I couldn't sleep last night. The adrenaline rush I got.
Buzz like a performer.
I honestly had the beats going. I had everybody up on the floor. The floor was
mobbed. What were you doing? Were you like jumping up and down?
I was jumping up and down. I was giving it all that. Oh, there we go. On the feet and everything.
That's disturbing because the people at home cannot visually see.
Is that why he's doing that? Is that why you've got a sore knee?
Oh, my knee's louting. I had to go home and put an ice pack on my knee, right? It's killing me. I didn't realise how hard the work it was if you put the effort in,
being
right?
Being a fake DJ.
Yeah, but there's a lot of good movements in there.
Mark, have you seen him?
It was disgusting. When I saw the picture, I was embarrassed. Not only for his full family, but for us, because we're associated with him.
The only thing that saved me was...
Nothing saved you.
Frank Macca come in with a white suit on, I swear.
Honestly, he wears that every day.
The comments.
I think he burst it through.
The comments on Twitter are not being so kind. Craig Meikle says that you're a new member of Oldie Looking Chain.
We play in words.
Johnston Tully, Murdoch, Alden Hay, unclear who he supports, says it's more like Pat Butcher on holiday.
Pat Butcher was there, she was up on the floor.
That's good.
Paul Patterson, very important question. Is the Dazzler going through his fifth midlife crisis? Scott Lorimer says Kevin and Perry have grown up. That's exactly who you look like.
Do you know what I would seriously consider if Andy's out there and to take me under their wing? I fancy that. I feel like that's my sort of a...
What, pretending to be a DJ?
Don't need to pretend. I'll put some music on.
You know what? Why don't you stay in here after Super Scoreboard on a Saturday night, and you've got the top man there, George. I'm sure George would be happy to let
I've got some really good moves there. A lot of people were impressed. There were people coming up and asking for me to put on songs. They were on the dance floor all night. Okay, we only had one song, but
Nathan Carter.
No, it was Kenny Lee Robert. Fantastic.
Awful, giving awful, it awful Travolta picture. So you can check it out there.
It's
on my...
out in the 34th. Get out there.
When's
and
it
buy it.
When's it out?
31st of March, I think. Oh, I'll have that big platinum thing up my wall in the house.
I honestly don't know how you get yourself in these situations.
Awful. Anyway, if you want to see the picture, it's over there on Twitter. Let's get back to football with William, who's in Uddingston tonight. How's it going, William?
Good evening, Gordon.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you haven't to follow that. That was nonsense. Just take it away.
No, Gordon, just tell it to Gordon, you should bring a book, the World Book Day of the World's Thousand Best Excuses, honestly.
That's true.
Excuses for what?
I mean, because every time you have excuses, don't know where a country is, what year it is, or end. I mean, Disneyland, that's two Disneylands, one in France, one in America. But anyway.
It's true what William says. That is, you're an excuse factory.
I think that's a bit unfair, William.
Anyway, what was your point, William?
God, you don't know what I was going to say. Listen, we have. So anyway. Scott, can just make a kind of point? For the last year and a half, I spoke to producer. Everything's been about Rangers rebuild this and Rangers rebuild that next thing. I think you've got to remember something here, is that across the city, and I'm a Celtic supporter, that Ange Postecoglou will be looking forward right into the summer, knowing that Rangers will make changes. And he will be making changes irrespective of whether he's got a good settled squad or not. Now, he'll move players on, he'll move on, let's say, I think even Ralston could move on because he's struggling to get in. Stephen Walsh will move on, Mikey Johns. A lot of players there have not got to get back in that Celtic squad. So I think what really we should be doing is looking at saying, you know, okay, Rangers are moving on, Michael Beale's got to do this, Michael Beale's got to do that. It's one thing, two things. Michael Beale does not have the same attraction as Steven Gerrard. That's a fact. And that's one thing. So as another big factor here is money. If Celtic go on and win the league, that where's Rangers going to get this money from? Because money's got to dictate. Money dictates everything in life. And where is Rangers going to get this money to bring on these 8, 9, 10 players? Because you know these players are still going to be paid. Agents are going to be paid. Used to get paid, God knows for what. But everybody's got to get paid. So, you know, where's this money coming from that Rangers have all of a sudden are just going to be turning this massively super-duper team? Ange Postecoglou and Celtic board of directors are not going to sit back and let Rangers suddenly take over and dominate Glasgow again. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. I don't think that's necessarily what anyone's really saying though, Mark. It's just, again, it is a compliment because everyone is having this discussion because they're saying Rangers need lots of different players and there are glaring deficiencies. People aren't thinking about what Celtic are going to do because they're good at the moment.
That's the thing, it's hard to see what they need when they are so good. But I get what William's saying. You know, Ange Postecoglou isn't one just to rest in his laurels and think everything's rosy. He's shown that to Giakoumakis, yeah, of course. And by the way, the names that William mentioned there, I think he could be right, unfortunately. The young Scottish ones he mentions, but that doesn't mean he's wrong with that. But Postecoglou will strengthen. He's got a goal, not just to win the league in the domestic cups here, but to improve Celtic on the European stage. That's the next step for Ange Postecoglou. His comments after the game on Sunday about longevity and, you know, what he wants to build at Celtic were interesting. That struck me as on the European stage. He wants to improve dramatically, and that will take signings. That will be what he said at the AGM, you know, being ready to move in the transfer window. So I don't think anyone's suggesting he will stand still, but it's just in comparison to where Rangers are. Rangers need a clean rebuild.
The only thing I disagree with William, and I totally understand his argument about Steven Gerrard, but Michael Beale will attract players to Rangers because of the club, the same way as, you know, Postecoglou came in. And probably Matt O'Reilly didn't know a lot about Postecoglou, and he come up and he signed. He's been a terrific signing. Doesn't mean to say he's got to get his signings right, but Rangers are an attractive club to sign. They're a massive football club, of course they are, the same as Celtic. And Postecoglou's tapped into the Japanese one where he knew most of the players. Michael Beale knows a lot of the English market, be working down there for all those years and being involved in it. Yes, it certainly helps if you've got a Steven Gerrard, you know, when a player's maybe sitting on the fence, could maybe sway it. But Rangers will attract players, but it's what kind of players and what sort of a money that they're going to get in. That's a big question mark for me.
Probably get stuck into this in the summer and the close season, William, but since you mention it, where does the Celtic upgrade? Where does the Celtic team look to upgrade?
Well, to be perfectly honest, your producer asked me the exact same thing, and I don't think, you know, that it's a massive upgrade. I think, you know, as Mark said, they let Giannakis go and they let Ivanovic go. So I think they'll bring in players of an ilk. They might not be a lot better, but I think they'll still be on the same level where you look at the change in five players in 60, 65 minutes, and it doesn't weaken, but strengthens the side. So I think they'll bring in players and a like-for-like level. You're certainly not going to bring in players that are going to make the team any weaker.
The like-for-like would be sort of standing still though, wouldn't it? At any club, you know, like if you were constantly replacing players like-for-like, that would be standing still. And the whole point of your call was to say that Celtic won't do that. So there must be somewhere they can upgrade if you don't think they'll stand still.
Yeah, I can see your point of view, but again, despite the fact, you know, say that, you know, I mean, let's be honest, who'd Celtic are owned by a billionaire? You know, they're owned by, so they've got a billion, but they've still got a budget. So they probably will be looking to bring in players that are better. But I think what you'll probably find is and I seen it on Sunday, when Morelos came off, he kicked a tantrum, blah, blah, blah. Kyogo comes off and bounces to the crowd with a smile on his face. So, and even if you look back at the footage from Sunday, when Rangers scored, not one single player, and for about 15, 20, maybe 30 seconds, or another part, not one player chased after Morelos to even put their arm around him. Go back and look at the footage. So I don't think Morelos actually helps that team, it doesn't really bring much to the players either, I don't think. So I don't know whether he's a popular figure or not. But can I just say something?
Where did that come from? If that is the case, what's that got to do with who upgrades where?
There's two things to that. One, let's address it. Kyogo comes off, he scored two. Celtic at that time are winning the cup.
Why are you talking about that?
Exactly. Morelos comes off frustrated. They're 2-1 down, they're losing the cup. Rangers fans run, Rangers players run up the pitch because they want to try and get back in the game. So I don't know where William's going with that argument.
Interesting part, because look, William makes a very good point when he comes on. Celtic won't stand still. I cannot for the life of me imagine Ange Postecoglou would like to stand still. So therefore, I'm just curious, what area of that team does he think can get better? Because they're pretty good, in case you hadn't noticed.
Well, let's look where he wants to improve. On the European stage, of course. So, where did they struggle in Europe? Well, they lost too many goals, of course, but how many chances did they create without putting any away? Kyogo, top scorer in Scotland, I think he's a terrific player, but you just wonder, if you're asking where did he improve, and if he wants to get to the latter stage of Europe, is Kyogo better for a season in the Champions League, or do they need an improvement to play in that stage? That's the questions the Celtic manager will be asking.
Thank
himself.
You to William. It's 01419511025. Got a bit of a different teaser for you coming up next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Gordon DLR here. It's 01419511025. We had a bit of fun, didn't we? Because it was World Book Day. We had a recording of you two helping out the breakfast show, reading the Gruffalo earlier, and it's inspired your favourite poet out there, Curious Creatures.
Oh, the Curious.
He says, "The fox and the mouse at SSB and all for World Book Day. The strangest fox you've ever heard as the children run away. Invited to his wee fox house to hear his DJ grooves. The lady foxes flee the woods. They've seen his creepy moves." I think we need to leave that there before we get in trouble. So I've actually incorporated World Book Day into your full-time teaser tonight. It's a bit different. It's not one of them like, can you name X people who've done blah, and then we rhyme it off to the end of the show.
Okay.
I've resurrected something that we did on the show years ago, and it was such good fun. I wanted to bring it back, and I know you two won't remember. I'm going to play you a clip of Hugh Keevans reading a footballer's autobiography, and you need to tell me who the player is. And I've got a couple of them, so I don't know. I'll just play one, and we'll just see how it goes.
Come on.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think an easy one.
I'd waited long enough. I hit Pab. The ball was there. I think. Take that, you. And don't ever stand over me sneering about fake injuries.
Easy got one it. To kick got us it. Off, Gordon. Nothing.
I was going to go down the Roy Aitken, Peter Grant way.
No. Roy Keane over Haaland.
So it was.
When you said Roy there, I thought, bingo, you've got it. Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Did you write these books? I'm going down the wrong.
Do you know what an autobiography is?
Yeah, but Hugh writes autobiographies for guys.
Get the full time teaser back. This isn't going to go down well.
What do you mean? How can Hugh write autobiographies for your autobiography? You write it about yourself. That's the whole point. That's what it means.
Aye, but does Hugh not put them all down in the paragraphs? And
well, that would be a biography, but the auto bit means right. That you do it about yourself.
He's getting confused because Hugh's reading
just because you write
excerpts from a book. That's somebody else's book. Hugh's just reading it to try and fool us, pull the wool over our eyes.
I thought, I'm fine.
So you thought I was just going to play a selection of books that Hugh Keevans has written?
Yeah, for players.
I'll take his up to eight. You relax.
Hugh's just written a book for someone lately, hasn't he?
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with this.
I thought that's what you were saying. He was reading out. Right, okay.
Whose autobiography was
Roy Keane's.
Great, yeah, okay, right. This one's a bit more difficult. I'll try and see what you think of this one.
Being part of a team that belongs to everyone makes me feel good. A lot of the time it's better than it lasts longer, and if it falls flat, it can't just be your fault. It takes you to a higher level. Much better to be a soldier on the pitch than in the bedroom.
George Best?
No.
I'm going down, I'm in the right road there.
Liverpool?
Not remotely. No. Okay. I'll just leave that one for you. It's a bit more difficult.
English or Scottish?
Oh, neither. He's a continental superstar.
Cantona?
Nah. We'll leave it. We'll leave it sitting there for the rest of the show, and I've got a few others if you manage to get it. Let's bring in Serge, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, Serge?
Good evening, panel. I'm a wee bit disappointed at some of the respect Michael Beale is getting, especially off my failed support. Now, you could see he picked the wrong team, especially in midfield, and especially the selection of Kamara. Now, we go 2-0 down. Now, we've all seen Rangers teams capitulate, especially Partey at the start of the season. If somebody brought on, they could have brought him on a wee bit quicker, right? But the game swung in Rangers' favour for about the last 25 minutes of that game. We just couldn't get the chance, or we were unlucky with Čolak. Now, we know there's a gap. Now, I wish people would listen to what people actually said. Didn't say we need 3 or 4 signings complete. We need 3 or 4 big, massive signings, and that could be, that doesn't need to be for loads of money, that could be good young players who are gems, who are hungry, that are going to make that team a lot better. There'll be more signings than 4, and we don't need to spend a fortune. I just can't believe the way people are saying, oh, we're mild-fine Celtic. Well, no, I think it's a lot closer than what people think. Over the course of a season, I would say Celtic are probably miles ahead if you look over the course of a season, but head-to-head, I don't think it's as big as people are thinking. It certainly isn't, because if you look at that game, there was only one team in it the last 25 minutes. And all right, Celtic carved out a couple of great chances to meet up with Park trying to get the equaliser. But we've all seen Rangers teams capitulate at 2-0. Because I thought it was going to be another doing it 2-0.
I think that is fair, right? Because you couldn't possibly say Rangers capitulated. But at the same time, Serge, there must be a contradiction that there's only one team in it in the last 25 minutes. But oh yeah, Celtic carved out a couple of really good opportunities. Those both can't coexist, surely.
No, but see, there's only one team in it in the last 25 minutes.
But Celtic could have scored twice, you said.
Sorry.
You also acknowledged that Celtic had two absolute sitters. Celtic had two better chances at the end than anything Rangers created. And listen, it might well be because Rangers were pushing forward, but it still happened.
Well, certainly I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is we had to be cavalier, and it was very, very late in the game. So we had to leave gaps and take chances. I'm not saying they wouldn't have done that. And I'm fully aware there were two chances they should have buried. But you've got to look in the context of the game. Up until that, there was only one team in it the last 25 minutes, unless I was watching a different game.
I think your opinion differs from me. I said at the time there was a swing when Rangers scored, or just about that period, even before they scored, Rangers started gaining more territory. They actually had a go, there was nothing to lose, and I think we can all agree on that. But when you analyse a game, what did Rangers create? What did Joe Hart have to do in a period that Serge is thinking there was only one team in it? Nothing, really. Celtic, when they had their chance.
As you heard me say, in the last 25 minutes we were the far better team, but we didn't lay a glove. Maybe a party of Čolak. Well, see, that's a calamity as a sitter as well. Right?
That was it. No, that was it, 2-0.
Right,
or 1-0, sorry.
People are saying if I've been hammered 5-1. Like, what I will say is we keep getting done with the same goal with Celtic down the right hand side, and there's two players wanting to put it in. But anybody who thinks Michael Beale will know do a good job if given the right backing. I'm not saying he'll make his world beaters, because the team needs to end think they're world beaters. And they're a good side, don't get me wrong, but they're no Real Madrid, they're no Barcelona.
Thanks for that. I'm not sure anyone would say they are, Gordon, but what do you think? I'm sort of glad Serge makes this point, because the Rangers fans have been very critical. That's not to say they're wrong either, but it's just good to hear a little bit of balance. It's good to know that there are Rangers fans out there who don't think the gap's absolutely massive like some people do. And I'll let you lot decide who's right.
Yeah, I think we'll all agree there's certainly a gap, whether you're in the camp of massive or it can be closed within, you know, the next transfer window kicking on to the next season. But I'm glad that Serge has come on and defended the manager, because, yes, the minute you play Celtic, and especially a cup final, and you lose that cup final, you come under scrutiny for tactics, team selection, substitutions. Of course you do. I've said it since day one. I said it when Ange Postecoglou walked into Celtic Park. There was a lot of rebuilding, a lot of work to be done. He had to be given that time, the support, the transfer windows. He was given that, and the success he's brought Celtic's been absolutely brilliant. Now, Michael Beale's got to be given the same opportunity, and Rangers fans have got to be, yes, disappointed with the weekend, of course, the loss to cup final to Celtic, which will certainly hurt them. But they've got to look forward and hope that they trust Michael Beale to have the same impact, or certainly near it, as the Celtic manager had in the transfer window when he came in and started recruiting.
So, Serge, ultimately, you're still managing to find a bit of a optimism or hope. You think you've got the right man. You don't think the squad needs too much surgery.
No, I'm not saying the squad doesn't need too much surgery. It doesn't need the whole money, silly money thrown at it. The right players at the right price. Don't be fooled that this guy doesn't know what needs done. Right, but what I will say to you, do you think in the gap between Celtic and Rangers right now is as big as what maybe when Rangers won the league the season before with Celtic, or Big Andrew seems to be the messiah up here, they do. Do you think the gap between Rangers and Celtic was bigger then, and Big Ange won the league next season, than what it is now?
So what's the question? Do we think the gap when Rangers won the league over Celtic was bigger than the current gap?
We keep hearing it off Rangers and Celtic fans who believe Celtic are over the hill and far away. Mm-hmm. So I'll put it to you, see when Rangers won 55, and what was the gap? Was it 20 odd points, and Big Ange came in and won the league the next season? Do you think then the gap was bigger then, or is it bigger now? Mm. Because you can turn round a big gap given the right manager and the right players.
Sure, yeah,
I would agree with that last point. Well, history shows you that.
To be clear, obviously the points gap was bigger. That's not up for debate, is it?
Of course, no. But Serge is right. With the right manager, that Celtic have shown, he's proven that point, then the gap can be overturned. Now,
yeah, because going back to the start of last season, I did not hear anyone thinking that Celtic could win the league.
Of course not. No, but we all kind of said the same, because it was an unknown quantity, the mess that Celtic were in. Serge, mean, are Rangers in the mess that Celtic were at that point? No, definitely not. Of course not. Michael Beale has shown that he's got a squad capable of winning games and going on a long run in the league. So there's progression there. But the gap, is there a big gap? Yes, there is, in terms of the overall structure of the club, Celtic to Rangers, where they stand, their squad, their depths of squad, their players and the ability the players have got. I think there is a gap, even though when they come together, the games have been fairly tight. But that just doesn't mean, oh, everything's tight between them. Celtic are a much more well-oiled machine at the minute, with everything running smoothly, than Rangers are.
Thank you to Serge. 01419511025. You got this right? Yeah.
Being part of a team that belongs to everyone makes me feel good. A lot of the time, it's better than it lasts longer, and if it falls flat, it can't just be your fault. It takes you to a higher level. Much better to be a soldier on the pitch than in the bedroom.
Think I know.
You know that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you know that, I'll be very impressed.
Italian, think Italian. Language of love there, he's speaking.
Oh, I'm a language of love expert. Oh,
Pirlo.
Yes.
Oh, no way. How
a man of
that?
Culture. Because I'm a man of culture, like
you,
Pirlo.
You have caused quite the stir, I must admit.
Why?
I'm furious at Jerry, who's pointing out that there are occasions when an autobiography can be written for someone else. But I'm not giving you any credit as if you knew that. The whole purpose here is...
All right, so there's no apology.
You hold on. You think Hugh Keevans wrote Roy Keane's autobiography. That's all we need to...
Hugh's a man of many talents. I know he can write anything.
That one was Pirlo. Here's your one for after the break, right?
I closed down one of their wingers. I tried to block his cross, but I felt a sting in my privates. I thought, that doesn't feel right. I'd slid into the tackle, so I didn't know whether I'd sat in my own studs or if his boot had followed through and caught me. I just knew my was stinging like...
Wow, you can have a few minutes to think about that one and tell me the answer next.
That's
going to
be a lot of pain. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West.
0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson and Gordon DLR here at 0141 951 1025. World Book Day, did you get this yet? Who's this? Whose autobiography is Hugh reading from?
I closed down one of their wingers. I tried to block his cross, but I felt a sting in my privates. I thought, that doesn't feel right. I'd slid into the tackle, so I didn't know whether I'd sat in my own studs or if his boot had followed through and caught me. I just knew my was stinging like...
Wow.
I'm going
nothing worse, eh?
So that.
Nothing aye. Worse.
I'm stitches, thinking of fullback because the winger stitches.
It required stitches. Oh, yeah. I've read about
somebody with a very Danny McGrain. Low voice. No, I'm going Steven Gerrard. Because I think I've heard this before.
Steven Gerrard.
Yes!
Stevie G.
Stevie G.
With the stitches in his.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Dissolving.
Imagine
ones.
That.
I'd rather not.
You had that before?
Oh, no.
World Book Day. There we are. That's the type of fun it brings you on this show. Now, do you not remember us? Hugh recorded these in 2018. It's on our Twitter feed.
Can't remember.
And I thought I would just bring them back.
They're quite good.
For what purpose? For World Book Day?
I think so, yeah, yeah. YouTube.
Yeah, that's quite good. YouTube. Come on, give us another one, Ali. That's good.
Right, this is one to leave you for the end of
the show.
The show.
Show, show.
I decided this man could not be trusted an inch. I would not want to expose my back to him in a hurry.
Vinnie Jones.
Nope.
Gaza.
Now, I'll tell you who he's talking about.
Sir Alex.
Yes.
Oh, Collins. No. Oh, that was good.
That was... Sorry, I was saying it was Sir Alex's
No,
book.
No, he's talking, about Sir Alex.
Oh, well, Wenger. No, Van Nistelrooy.
Van Nistelrooy. I'll leave it there. You can try and come up with it before the end of the show. Let's hear from the new Dundee United manager. Things move quickly. This time last night we said he was going to be named. It was imminent. It happened just after we went off air. It is Jim Goodwin, just 6 weeks or so after that image of him walking across the pitch Easter Road as Aberdeen manager. And now, of course, he's going to face Aberdeen in his first game on Saturday.
I believe in that group. It's as simple as that. I believe I've inherited a very, very good squad. You know, I think, you know, there's two managers lost their jobs this season at this club. And I think the players have got a sense of guilt how that has happened. You know, it's always the manager who eventually falls on the sword because it's a lot easier to get rid of one man as opposed to get rid of 20. But I do think the players that are there take responsibility. I think they're all honest enough to look in the mirror and take their accountability for what's happened. And I think they're desperate to make amends. They're desperate to put things right. They're desperate to show the supporters that this actually does mean something to them. Yeah, we've all got to now start pulling in the right direction. And the players have got an opportunity over the next 12 games to make amends, to restore some pride, and to ensure that this club remains a Premier League club next season.
good appointment or bad appointment is not for me, that's for you and the callers, because you're the ones that provide opinions. But it's a remarkable appointment, Mark. I think I can say that with some certainty.
I don't think any of us would have seen it coming. A couple of days ago we were on here chatting when Tony Asghar departed the club, and Jim's name wasn't even in the running.
Let's even go 6 weeks ago. Think about that night in here. It was the most dramatic evening.
That's what I was going to say. Purely because the time frame of all of this, a manager to lose his job and then go 6 weeks, and he's in what you class as a local rivalry. I mean, that's when I was at the club. Aberdeen were our rivals as well as Dundee, so it's quite remarkable. Look, I am delighted for Jim. Everybody knows Jim's a pal of mine's, and management's a cruel game. You know, he built up a career, you know, going through the right channels, and then got a big job, and it didn't work out over a number of weeks after the World Cup. I think we can all agree with that. I think Jim said that they were sitting third place, everything's looking rosy. 80 odd minutes against Celtic, although it wasn't attractive, the game plan was working to get a point at the game, and then bang, everything goes to pot. Loses goal against Celtic, loses two in injury time against Rangers, beat back heavily by Hearts, and then the worst result of all, the two against him. So it all happened in a short space of time. Loses his job, and sometimes that can take managers a lot of time to go over and get back in. But when an opportunity like United presents itself, then it's a no-brainer for Jim. Suits the club. It's a short-term appointment because behind the scenes, everything's still in a transitional period, and it suits Jim. He's right back in with something to prove at a club with good players that's every chance of surviving with a different character at the helm.
Some business, this managerial game, Gordon.
Shock. I've got to admit, I'm shocked. I agree with Mark in the sense that we know Jim. I love him as a guy, and it's very hard to sit here, but if it's any other manager, you're looking at a guy that, let's even go last 10 games with Aberdeen. Now, he's spent a lot of money. He's won one game. He got 5-0 at Tynecastle. He got 6-0 at Easter Road. And he recorded the worst result in the history of Aberdeen by losing in the Cup to Darvel. His goals against, with Aberdeen's record in the league, was something like 40-odd goals in 23 games. It was probably the highest in the league. And Dundee United have brought him in to save them from relegation, a team that's really, really struggling. Now, I hope Jim goes in there and recreates his career, because he came in for a bit of stick at Aberdeen. I wish him all the very best. But looking at it from Dundee United, I think it was a case of Jim Goodwin, it suits us because it's to the end of season. We're not committing to long term. We know that they've spoken to Craig Levine. Craig Levine decided that if there weren't a long term plan there, it was no interest whatsoever. So Jim got the opportunity. I totally take on board Jim's reason of saying yes to it. He's out of a job. He wants to get back and prove himself. He's a fighter, Jim. He's a winner, and I hope he does. But if Jim then ends up with the CV of not getting him out of trouble, I don't think it does his reputation as a manager any good.
Look, we get stick for the quality of the play at times, which is fine, and we have our faults, but my goodness, the storylines that Scottish football produces time and time again. 6 p.m. Saturday night, Dundee United against Aberdeen with Jim Goodwin in the home dugout. Unbelievable.
And the away dugout is Barry Robson, who, you know, took the job on afterwards, and he has to give his own opinions of things. And I don't think he's said anything outrageous, Barry, but it's always a funny one that, you know, coming up against someone who was previously on your staff, who's remained in
I think the relationship's fine.
I think it's fine, but it makes for an absolute soap opera of a game. It should be a cracker.
We're going to stay on till 10 o'clock for it, I think.
I'd love that.
All right, yeah, that'd be good. That's great. By 10.
George Bowie will be delighted.
Well, I could do Bowie stuff for
you
him.
Could, that's
tell
true.
Him just to stay.
It's Alan Burrow's first game at Aberdeen as well. I don't think he'll play the way. I think it comes a bit too soon for him. Did you come up with your last?
We're going David Beckham.
No. Gordon Strachan. Gordon Strachan. See, I know the gaffer well.
Oh.
It was.
Well done. Thank you. I enjoyed that game.
It was good. For right. Thank you to both of you. I wish you both well, to have a good couple of days till we speak again. If you are going to be taken away to be children's authors,
we'll remember
or
yous.
music video sensations, please do stay in touch. It was a pleasure. It was fun while it lasted. Thank you to Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Thanks for all your calls, all your tweets, and to the vast majority who just sat quietly and shouted. I'm not, you can't shout quietly, but shouted inside your head at how much nonsense Gordon DL and Mark Wilson talked tonight. But my apologies, we're back tomorrow. Two far more sensible characters in Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. And Callum Gallagher is up next. Have a good night.